One thing about God's word is that, you know, you can never be satisfied with what you knew yesterday on any subject in Scripture. Because, like I said on Friday, the word of God is living. Anything that lives, you will always discover something new. When something is living, if it's a dead thing, you may not be able to learn much. Even from dead things, people learn. But when something is living, it means that continuously there is something new to learn. Because we are living beings, scientists and biologists, they've been learning about the human body, but there's still a lot more for them to discover because we are living beings. Same thing with God's word. And we're speaking about the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to open up your ears and your heart to receive what God wants us to appreciate about the Holy Spirit today. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13, which is our main text, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, Apostle Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, he wrote two epistles, two letters to them. And in the conclusion of his letters, he writes this final greeting to them. Now, this is very important. He says, of all the things I've written, there's something I want to remain with you. My desire, my prayer, my declaration for you, the church, is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit to remain with you. Now, what that means is, in that place, you will see, number one, is the concept of Trinity. We believe in the Trinity, God in three persons. They are one, they are indivisible, they are the same, they work together, they reason together, and so it is one God manifested in three personalities. That is the belief that we have as Christians, and this is proven through our scripture. Now, I will come back to this, but let's go to Genesis chapter 1 from the very beginning. You see this Trinity at play, at work. And, you know, everything that is in the book of Genesis is an intro to all of Scripture. You know, when you study the book of Genesis, you can actually get a lot of the things that are in other books. You can find them in the book of Genesis because it is the beginning, and that beginning is introducing you to everything that will come. Amen. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I don't want to take too much time with this, but the word here is Elohim. And God here is Elohim, and it is a plural word. You know, when I say, you know, Deaconess Loris and Emma, when I'm speaking to them, I can say, you. You know, I can call them you. Deaconess Loris and Emma, will you go to the office, please? You see, you can use you for her, just one person, and you can use the you for the two of them. That's the kind of word that is written here. It is God in the plural, not saying God as just one. It is God, but in three persons. And you will see that. Look at that. Verse two. And the earth was without what? Form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. You see now it begins to break it down to let us know that it's not just one person. And you see, Spirit there is capitalized. The S is capitalized, meaning that this is a person by himself, because it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So everywhere that you have God, God is present as three persons. It's Trinity. And look at that, verse number three. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were present in creation. They brought creation to being. And so when Paul says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he's saying within the church, the three are at play and they are at work within the church. Now let's go down to verse number 26 of this same scripture. 26. And it says, can you take out that video? Just take it out permanently. Thank you. And God said, let us. Can you see that now? Who are the us? Just the same kind of illustration I gave about you. God said, let us. Who is the person? Because say, let us make man in who? In our. See the word, us, our. That tells you it's not just one singularity, one person. There must be more than one, isn't it? When you say you, I hope you understand the way I'm using the terms. When I say more than one, I'm not saying three, more than one, you know, they are distinct, but they are one. But just to let you know that the Trinity are at work, is at work in this place. You know, we have to find the right tenses to use to do this. Okay, but it says, and God said, let us. So when God was making, he was making as the Trinity. They were making man. So let us make man in our, can you see those words? Our image, and after what? Our likeness. So God made us in the image of God, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's the concept of the Trinity. Let's go back now to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, and many times we do not fully understand and know who the Holy Spirit is. He is like the Father. He is like the Son. The Holy Spirit is not some, it's not something weird. It's not something that people try to figure out. It's not the things that we think he is. It's not, you know, he is God himself. When you see God the Father, you have seen God the Son. If you see God the Son, you have seen God the Holy Spirit. So the same way I will deal with God the Father is the same way I will deal with God the Son. The same way I deal with God the Son is the same way I deal with God the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, he said that he was going, and they asked him, they said, show us the Father. If you can show us the Father, it will be sufficient for us. And Jesus said to them, you mean I've been with you for so long and you don't know the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I really want you to get this. If you have seen me, you see, the disciples felt that they were missing something. Because the Jews in the Old Testament, they have an acquaintance with God Almighty. The Jews know about God. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about, you know, they just know God Almighty, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah that. So they know God very well. But that's all they know about God. So when Jesus came, they could not receive him. When John, who understood, he says, in the beginning was the Word. That is, this Jesus we are seeing today, he's been from the beginning, just like we read. You know, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. When he said was with God, that they were together in creation. They've been together before creation, and the Word was God. So now, the mystery of the Holy Spirit should begin to unravel for you, because the same way that Jesus, when he was on earth, and people related with him, is the same way you have to relate with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we do with the Holy Spirit is that we have some misconceptions about the fact, oh, when the Spirit of God is moving, then there has to be some kind of manifestation. You know, if I said the Spirit of God is here now, for those of you who have been long in Christianity, you associate that with maybe we are in a trance. You know, you have a sense. You know, that's why it's good to have been a Christian for a long time, But you know how it will benefit you to be a Christian for a long time is to continually renew your mind. Otherwise, you know, people who come last, they will benefit more. Because you'll be doing things based on the old knowledge that you had. But you see, God is revealing and giving to us His nature, the way the Holy Spirit is not that we come to church and we are falling down. That's not the Holy Spirit. You can fall down. You know who fell down? You fell down. Because, and I will show you, you know, I wanted to just go on, if you were not here on Friday, you know, I said some awesome things. You know, Friday is a time when you are able to pour out a lot. Because we haven't got any other ceremony. We just come here to hear the word. Amen. But what I'm trying to say to you is that when people hear the Holy Spirit, we associate Him with, you know, when people are shaken, when people are in a trance, they say, phew, the Holy Spirit is moving. But the Holy Spirit is same like Jesus. Like when Jesus was with His disciples, they were not rolling on the floor. They were talking with Him face to face. Can you imagine? Sometimes, you know, in the church, and I'm not using this to condemn anybody. God is giving us an understanding and knowledge. If some of you were around Jesus today, you will be falling down every minute. So because He has so much anointing, you can't have a conversation with Him because you, in your mind, wow, wow, wow. But you cannot have, now listen to this, go back to that scripture. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I said to you that what you associate Jesus with primarily is grace. If you want to know anything about Jesus, the most important thing you can know about Him first is His grace. So if you don't know about the grace of the Lord Jesus, you don't know Him. He is the one that brings grace to us. And then the second thing about God is, if you want to know who God is, how do you know Him? Love. God is love. The most important connection you will have with God is His love. The most important and primary connection you will have with the Holy Spirit is what? His grace. That's why Paul said, I want it to remain with you. His grace must remain in your thinking, in your mindset, that God is a gracious God, He's a good God, He has amazing grace that is poured out on us, that is available to us, and God's love is available to us. Now, the Holy Spirit, we see here that what Paul says about the Holy Spirit is what? Is communion. God the Father, God the Son, are not here on earth in terms of relationship with believers. The person who is here on earth is who? The Holy Spirit. You know that Jesus came to die. After He died, He rose up and He ascended to heaven. And He's going to return again. And what did Jesus do? He sent us the Holy Spirit. So if you want to talk to God and relate with God for today, who are you going to relate with? The Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm not relating with the Holy Spirit, then my relationship with God is limited. To have a good relationship with God, it is the Holy Spirit that is here. The word communion means fellowship. The word communion also means relationship. The word communion also means friendship. So now as a believer, in order for me to grow in God, to know God well, what I have to do is to have a communion with the Holy Spirit. Look at that. It says the communion of the Holy Spirit, that is relationship of and with the Spirit of God, to be with you all. So it's not something we declare to close the service. It is something that we go and we do. In the same way that John, Peter, and all of them were always around Jesus. When they had questions, they asked him. When they had issues in their life, they asked him. When Peter needed to pay his taxes, he went to the Lord Jesus and he told him what to do. When his mother-in-law was unwell, he spoke to Jesus and Jesus told him what to do. The same thing today. That's the way you will commune with the Holy Spirit. You have to form a friendship with the Holy Spirit. Let's go to the Message translation. The Message translation. It says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit is not a force. Because that's the kind of thing that we see. We think it's a force. He is a person just like God the Father, just like God the Son. He is a person that we are supposed to relate with. The only difference now is that Jesus came in human flesh so we could see him. The people at the time could see him physically. The Holy Spirit is a person, but you can't see him physically. But he is here. He is with you at home when you go home. When you drive your car, the Holy Spirit is there. Because he says the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. It has to be with you. You've got to be conscious. You know, this is so important. If I understand that the Spirit of God is with me, there is nothing I can fear. That's the first thing. That, you know, a lot of people are panicky. They fear. They are not communing with the Holy Spirit. They are not conscious of the Holy Spirit. They look at themselves as if they are alone. And then when they want the Holy Spirit to come, then maybe you sing a worship song, which is beautiful to sing worship songs. I don't need to sing for the Holy Spirit to be here. He is here. Come on. Hallelujah. You don't need. He can help you. And you know it helps you. And really, you should be worshiping when you sing songs to worship God. It's not to wind you up. So that the Holy Spirit will come. You know, my wife and I, we're not just husband and wife. We are friends. What do friends do? You know, you don't just become husband and wife. You've got to be friends. Because friendship, listen to me, friendship is actually the key to relationship. Hallelujah. You see, so you don't just say, oh, she's my wife, he's my husband. No, no, no. We are friends. And this is important because friendship is a high level of relationship. So friends, one of the things that happens with friends is they talk. So if we are married and we don't talk, that's not really marriage. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit is in our lives and we don't talk to him. Some people wake up every day for 10 days. They never talk to the Holy Spirit. They ignore him. Now, if Jesus was in your house every day, you will talk to him because you say, that's Jesus, I can see him, but that's why he's spirit. You can't see spirit. So what God wants us to do with the Holy Spirit is what? Communion. The word communion is also from the word communicate as well. So one of the things that you want to grow in your Christian walk with God is to talk to the Holy Spirit. You will say, how will I talk to the Holy Spirit? You want to build friendship. How do you build friendship? You start talking, you start relating with the person, and the friendship grows. So now we want to understand the Holy Spirit differently. We don't want to reserve him for the time when worship is going on. Say, I can sense the Spirit of God. No, 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 sir. He said communion of the Holy Spirit. Not that we'll call a meeting and then somebody is waving their hand and we say, oh, the anointing is flowing. That's not what the Holy Spirit is for. It's primarily for you to build a friendship. Look at what that the Message Bible says, 2 Corinthians 13, Message Bible. It says, the amazing grace says the intimate friendship. You know, God wants intimacy with man. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be friends with you. He wants to share your burdens. He wants to share. He wants to tell you about life. He doesn't want you to go through life struggling. He doesn't want you going through life trying to figure it out yourself. So you have a friend in him. But we are not conscious. We don't realize that the Holy Spirit is a friend. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 15. John 15, verse 15. It says, no longer do I call you what? Servants. This is Jesus speaking. I told you that friendship is a higher level of relationship. He says, I don't call you servants, because the disciples of Jesus, yes, in truth, they were his servants because they were serving in the ministry. But Jesus says something. For a servant does not do what? Does not know what the master is doing. You see, a servant, you don't reveal everything to them. You don't tell them all the secrets of everything you're doing. You don't reveal it to servants. So now he says, but I have called you what? Friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So what do you think the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life? He wants to tell you all things. All the things that you are trying to figure out in your mind. He said, no longer, you see, you are trying to treat yourself as a servant that doesn't know, you are not privy to those secret things. But now he says, I want you to be friends with me so that I can share with you everything, everything, not some things, everything. The Holy Spirit can tell you what will happen tomorrow. You need to build the relationship to that extent. See, the kind of relationship I have with my wife, you know, sometimes my wife will tell one of the children something. And when I come in, I will say exactly the same thing. In fact, there was something that happened recently, and I came. I don't want to describe it, you know, I don't want to get distracted. So when I came, I told my wife, and I said that thing. She said, oh, let me go and call Telemi. He said, everything you just said now, I just told her. It was something that was there, and I was referring to that thing. And exactly, so she went and called Telemi and said, come and hear your dad. Exactly what she told her before I got home is exactly what I said. Are you getting what friendship is now? So the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to think like the Holy Spirit. Oh, my God. This is powerful stuff. Friendship with the whole. Why would you have intimate friendship with somebody if it's not so that you will know their mind? The Bible says no one knows the mind of the Father except his Spirit. Now that Spirit is in us so that we can know the mind of God. The communion of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is primarily for. Just like grace is what Jesus is primarily about. Just like love is what God is primarily about. Friendship is what the Holy Spirit is primarily about. Not some. You know, your flesh likes manifestation. Not screaming. Aah! Not in the house of God. You can have that, but listen to me, I'm not condemning that, but we have used that to supersede the friendship. The intimacy of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is with me all the time. When I get in the car, I talk to him. When I wake up, I talk to him. More and more. It's getting better now with a bigger, better understanding. You know what happens? I am so at peace. The first thing you will notice when you begin to have intimacy with the Holy Spirit is peace. You will not be perturbed by anything. Because it's like Jesus when he was on the boat with the disciples and he was sleeping. And the boat was going to capsize. And they said to Jesus, Master, they woke him up. You know why they woke him up? They woke him up because they know if he's awake, nothing will happen to them. But we're not sure when he is sleeping. Are you getting what I'm saying? They had confidence that if he wakes up, we will be safe. That's why they woke him up. You have to have confidence that you have the Holy Spirit. So when there is storm, you don't think of storms. Storms are nothing because I am intimate with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The communion of the Holy Spirit. It says, I no longer call you servants. What do I call you? I call you friends. And we read on Friday how Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will send you what? Another comforter. Jesus says, I'm going away. You are being sorrowful, but don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to come back to you. How is he going to come back? Ask the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and the Father, they are one. When you see one, you've seen the other. So don't keep asking, Jesus, where are you? You know, some people, when something happens, they say, Jesus! They are, you know, panic. They use the name like that. And you know, in this, that's like, people see it as a swear word. When you shout his name like that. You should be conscious that the Holy Spirit is with you. Jesus said, the Spirit of God will come. It says, he is with you and he will be in you. Do you know the Holy Spirit is in you? Everybody who has received Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, the Holy Spirit is inside you. All you have to do is talk to him. Talk to him. You know, someone says it feels strange. It only feels strange to your physical body, to your flesh, strange to talk. You know, there's a lot of people who talk anyway to themselves. Have you seen people do that?
Yes, I do.
Lydia says, I do.
Yes.
People talk. Sometimes, you know, they're not opening their lips, but you're calling them, you're saying, Ima, 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 and she's gone. She's talking to the air, talking to somebody. But why not use it, convert that, and talk to the Holy Spirit? The communion of the Holy Spirit. This is very important. The communion. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 14 about the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus says about the Holy Spirit shows that he is a person to be related with. Everything he says. John 14 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will do what? Will send in my name. That is, he will stand in my stead. He will send, he will be with you instead of me being with you because I'm going. He says, he will teach you what? All things. Now, how is he going to teach you if you think that he is meant for to manifest in a way that you have to shake? If I'm some teaching now, and you say, well, Pastor is so powerful, and then she's shaking on her chair. Your children go to school, the teacher is speaking, and they're shaking, they're doing this. They can't learn anything. Teaching means there has to be a relationship. Because when he's teaching you, you've got to know what he's saying, hear what he's saying, and you are learning. So Jesus said, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. He will form relationship with you to teach you. He says he will teach you all things. Everybody say all things. Say all things. So now, as a church, as a people that we are gaining this knowledge that have the Holy Spirit, then if I need something that I'm not sure of, that I do not know, who do I talk to? I talk to my friend, the Holy Spirit. He is not wind. You see, the Holy Spirit is God. How can you say he is wind? You see, one of the things that happens is that many times in Scripture and in the Old Testament, New Testament, he describes, say he came as wind. You know, when you say wind, you see wind, you can't touch wind. He's not saying the Holy Spirit is wind. You know, have you heard, you know, say Jesus is the Lamb of God. Does it mean he is a lamb? Do you know the lamb that you... No, it's a description that is, he is as meek as a lamb. He's as innocent as a lamb. That's what he's saying. It's not wind. So what people say, okay, you know, people go to me and say, that's the Holy Spirit. It is lack of knowledge. It's not the Holy Spirit. Just like you can't say, I can't come to church and say, because he says he's a lamb, and then I bring a lamb to church. And I start showing you. And I say, touch the lamb. Touch. Well, some people will do it if they don't know the Holy Spirit. If you can touch this lamb, all your sins will be forgiven. You will be healed. Just touch the lamb. You will see everybody will, people of Slough will come here and come and touch the lamb. But that's not Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not wind. He is a person that you talk to, that you commune with, that you fellowship with. And I tell you, it is for your benefit. Look at this. He says, he will teach you all things. And when Jesus says all things, he means all things. And bring to your remembrance. Oh, God. You know, anything that I want to remember, in the office, I work with Gabby. So Gabby gets all the, and once I tell her, you know, any diary or anything I want to do, all the things I want to do, that Gabby knows, and she is able to remind me anytime. But there has to be a relationship. Can you imagine if I don't talk to her? We never talk. And I want her to remind me of things. I don't have that relationship. That's the working relationship with her. How is she going to help me? The same thing with the Holy Spirit. He said he will remind you. There are things that we forget. There are things that we have heard in church that we forget. The Spirit of God, even if it's a message from 10 years ago, he will remind you. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Every message you hear in church is to solve your situation. So when the situation comes, you know what happens? You forget. So you begin to act in the flesh. But if I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he reminds me, did you remember the last time when I was speaking in church? Because as I'm teaching, it's the Spirit of God that is teaching. Hallelujah. He says, you bring all things to your remembrance, all things that I've said to you. Next verse. Peace I leave with you. How is the peace going to come? When I send the Holy Spirit. So the first thing, that manifestation you see, is that when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, is peace. You'll be calm. You won't be aggressive. You will not be worried because you have the Holy Spirit. Say, I have the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to begin to relate with the Holy Spirit. Go to John chapter 16. John 16. But now I go away to him who sent him. Who is talking here? Who is speaking? Jesus. Jesus said, I'm doing what? I'm going away. Say, going away. Say, going away. And none of you asks me, where are you going? Next verse. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Why were they sorrowful? This man that was everything to us, that when we have him, we can be. You know, when the Pharisees came to condemn and say anything to them, because they had Jesus, they were not afraid of the Pharisees. Did you know that the disciples always hid from the Pharisees before they met Jesus? Because they were not people who were tutored in the things of God. And so the Pharisees were the big guys. That's why Jesus said they would wear big robes and they would go on the street corner. When they go on the street corner, people like Peter, Matthew, and all of them, they will go and hide when you see a Pharisee passing. They own the street. They own the place. They were the law. But when they had Jesus with them, every time they came to say anything against them, what would Jesus do? He will speak for them. They came to meet the disciples. They said, why don't they wash, you know, do the ceremonial washing before they eat? And Jesus replied. They didn't have to reply. You know, part of the job of having the Holy Spirit as a friend is your advocate. That's one of the words for the word when it says the comforter, parakletos. It means he's your advocate. You don't reply. He speaks for you. Nothing disturbs you because you have somebody who speaks for you, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was with them. They came to them and said, why don't they fast? You know, the Pharisees were always accusing the disciples. And Jesus replied. He was the one that answered for them. Guess what? Jesus says, I will send you another one because I'm going. So in whatever situation you are facing, you've got to make sure you let him. Let him. Hallelujah. Look at that. It says, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Next verse. Nevertheless, I tell you what. Now, It always amazes me when Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Because he is truth. How can truth say, I tell you the truth? So he was saying it because of them, to catch their attention. I want you to notice this thing that I'm trying to tell you. I want you to listen properly. It is to your advantage that I go away. So Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, it is to what? It is to what? Now, if I told you, somebody came and said, I've seen Jesus. He is in Minister Rowena's house. I saw Jesus. You know, wow. Jesus came and he appeared and everything. After service, even before I finished preaching, some people are heading to our house now. But Jesus said, it is what? To your advantage that I go away. Don't forget that Jesus is speaking to people who have been with him for over 3 years. As far as they are concerned, the best thing that can happen to us is to have Jesus with us. But he says, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, who will not come? The helper will not come. So if Jesus says this, that person must be very important. If I tell you that it is to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go, why will he not come? Why will the Holy Spirit not come? They don't come to this earth. They have an era where they come. The Father was manifested in the Old Testament. So Jesus came, even though they are one, they work together, but in relationship with man, it was God the Father that was manifested to humanity in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, so that Jesus would die, he came and he manifested God as Jesus. Now he is going away. We cannot leave this world without God. There has to be God in the world. There has to be God with us. That's why Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without God. I will not leave you without myself, without God. So he says, I am going away, and he can't come here if I'm still here. Because each one has his function. So when I finish my function, then he will come and do his own. And that's why we are not expecting any other person until the end of the world comes. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're not expecting. This is the one who will come, because God in three persons, the first person in the Trinity has manifested. The second person in the Trinity has manifested. Now the third person in the Trinity is at work right now, and you better take advantage of him. There were people living in the time of Jesus who did not take advantage of him. They did not know. They lost out big time, even though he was there with them. Same thing with the Holy Spirit, and because we don't fully know him, we don't know how to commune with him. So he says, if it is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I depart, say depart, I will send him to you. So now, you just read this word. These are English words. They're very clear. So if I want to talk to God now, who do I talk to? Jesus, I am departing. So even when you mention Jesus, your mind will be saying, Jesus in heaven. But he says, the one I want you to relate with now is the Holy Spirit. He said it. I didn't say it. Just like they were asking for the Father, because they've always known about the Father. They say, well, you've been talking about your Father so much. Show him to us. No, if you have seen me, you have seen my Father. If you have seen the Holy Spirit, relate with him. He is the Father. He is the Son in the Spirit. In spirit. And so he says, it is to your advantage. What advantage? Why would that be an advantage? There are other translations that say, it is best for you that I go away. Some say it is better for you that I go away. The Good News Translation says it is better for you that I go away. Why is that? You see, Jesus came in bodily form. Because he was in bodily form, He could not be everywhere. He could not be everywhere to teach everybody. He could not tell you things to come. You know, I've heard somebody give this illustration. He said, can you imagine how many people on the face of the earth? Well, let's say how many Christians? Let's say we have about 2 billion Christians on earth, or 1 billion. Let's say 1 billion. And Jesus was still here. And let's say he's in what country? Timbuktu. Let's say Jesus was still on earth. He's in Timbuktu. All of us will have to travel to where? Timbuktu. To ask him for advice. To talk to him. To relate with him. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, it is to your advantage that I go away, because the Holy Spirit does not come with a body. You know what keeps you seated on your chair is because you have a body. If you don't have a body, you can't sit down. If you don't have a body, you can't. You know, the force, the law of gravity cannot affect you. This is your weight, your mass that has been affected by the law of gravity. But the Holy Spirit is not coming in bodily form, but he is still God. He is like Christ. So it is to our advantage, because he can be in Emma's house and be in my house, be in your church, be in my church. He can be in Nigeria. He can be in Jamaica. He can be in Anguilla. He can be everywhere. Because why? You carry him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is to your advantage that I go away. Hallelujah. So why am I saying all of these things? The Spirit of God, he is not a mystery to us. He's somebody we should be relating with. We should be relating to. We should be talking to. Your life will change forever when you begin to talk to the Holy Spirit. Anything that is an issue in your life, any confusion you have, talk to the Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, what would I? Just start talking. Just know, you know, when they say something is in you. Okay, you say, well, that's hard for me to figure. Do you have a heart that is pumping? Do you believe it? Yes. How do you know? Have you ever seen your heart pumping? No. Have you ever seen your lungs?
No.
You saw it. When you woke up this morning, let me just check, make sure my lungs are still there. You didn't check, but you believe it's there, and you believe it's doing the work they say it does. What does the lungs do? You know, the respiration. Why do you believe it? Every day you wake up, you don't check it out. The same way, because the Holy Spirit cannot be seen, but he is in you.
Amen.
Oh, church. He is in you. The same way you believe your heart is there and is pumping. In fact, you don't even want to see your heart. You don't want to see it. Somebody said, let me open it so I can show you. You said, no, please don't show me. You won't argue with that. But when I tell you the Holy Spirit, say, I can't talk to you because I can't see him. You know, I can't. How will I? It will feel strange to me to be talking. How can I be talking when I can't see? That's how you treat the Holy Spirit. That's how you build intimacy. You know, when I met my wife, I built intimacy because I can see her. And that affects our mind because we can't see the Holy Spirit. And sometimes what we do with the Holy Spirit is, because we have a misconception of him, we think, ooh, the Holy Spirit has come with power. Power. So we need somebody to help us. You say, we are having a night of the Holy Spirit. When you hear that in Christian circles, that's big. That night, the Spirit of God will move. Like he has never moved before. Woo! You get people charged up. They are ready. They are texting their friends. You better come. We are having a night of the Holy Spirit. A night of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he is with you and he shall be in you. Because you've neglected him all these years, that's why you are hungry for somebody to tell you he is here. When you talk to him every day, nobody can deceive you. You know, what I am doing is I just wish that people would know that Christianity is easy. And every day, every time I go around and I speak to people, and I see people thinking that Christianity is something so difficult because our understanding is not very clear. It is so easy talking to the Holy Spirit. He's there. You ask him. It took me, how many years has it taken me to know my wife, for her to know me? And we're still discovering a lot about ourselves because she is a living being. I told you, anything that is living, you will still be discovering. You can't know it all. The same thing with the Holy Spirit, but you have to start somewhere. Start talking to him. When you're going home, start talking to him. Talk to him first before you talk to human beings. The Holy Spirit. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we've talked about it at convention and many times, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit to be with you. Why is he going to be with you? That is, you are constantly communing with the Holy Spirit. It has to remain with you. You must never lose sight of it. You must never go any day without talking to the Spirit of God. Asking him questions. You say, Pastor, how am I going to know what he's saying? Look, one of the things that you find out is people want quick fix. Some people want to, as I said it today, you've never spoken to the Holy Spirit before, so you say, well, I will talk tomorrow to him. I will see what happens in my life. If I don't see anything after 1 week, I give up. How about giving up on my wife after we're going to be 25 years of marriage in December? Amen. And we are still learning about each other. Still learning. You know, at the early stages, I've told you many stories that will make you laugh. Number one, you have to realize in marriage is that a man is different to what? A woman. Women reason differently to the way men reason. Because God made us like that. We are equal, but we are different. Do you know that men, I know we have some ladies who are like that too, but can you see men, when they are discussing their football, whatever is a man's passion. If a man has a passion for anything, if it's politics, if it's football, if it's anything, if it's his work, he can forget his wife and children just to talk about it. If you're a man, that's a man for you. A man, you see, if he's talking about what he loves, but the woman, even as you are talking about it, women are thinking 10 things at the same time, at the same time. A man thinks of one thing. A man is focused. Oh, that's the truth. You know, some men try to say, no, I can think of many things at the same time. You deceive yourself. It means you know more than God. That's why God looked at him. It is not good for the man to be alone. Why? Because if he's alone, he will only be doing one thing. I will make him a help. That's the reason. So the first thing you've got to realize that my wife reasons differently, not because she is inferior to me, but that's the makeup. And I reason differently. If you don't appreciate that, you will always be at loggerheads. That's what happens when you first get married. And if you don't appreciate this, you will always be. But if you appreciate that, you know, there are things that I will say, and then my wife will go on. You know, maturity has taught me. Say this. Do this. But if you are not a mature man, you carry on. No, but this. Just let her talk, and then she will do what? But you say, oh, no, I want to. I've told you, you can never teach anybody anything during arguments. One of the greatest things you can learn in life, you know, is never to argue. You know, I've been in boardrooms. I've been in, and I give you this. When you go to a meeting, I tell people, when you go to a meeting, if you want to rise and rise. You see directors and companies where they have meetings. What you do, do a research before you go to that meeting and find solutions to problems. Don't go there and list the problems. Because what happens is you will never get to any solution. But what you do, in fact, if you want to rise, you see, a person wants to rise in management, to rise higher. When you're going for your meetings, you know that the meetings, they're going to highlight some problems. Think of those problems and think of what? Solution. So the moment they mention one problem, you start saying the solution. Let everybody talk first and say all the problems. And say, yes, yes, I realize that. However, the other day I did some research and this is this. See, the chairman will look at you and say, oh, this man is not from this earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what was I saying? See, that comes when you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You can ask the Holy Spirit questions. You can ask him for things. You can talk to him. Say, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. So now that he has come, and guess what about the disciples? The disciples, they related with the Holy Spirit perfectly well. I shared with you on Friday in Acts chapter 15, after they discussed a matter. When they discussed the matter, they say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to take this decision. How did they know? They just had a meeting. Nobody shook in that meeting. No vibration going on in the meeting. No loud voice in the meeting. They just had a meeting. They finished the meeting. They said, okay, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. How did they know? Intimacy. You begin to know the mind of the Holy Spirit, which is the mind of God, which is the word of God. He begins to bring it to your remembrance. When you are tackling a matter, he says, do you remember this? Do you remember that? He brings it to your mind. You know, we are never at that point yet, but we have to keep growing. The Holy Spirit can tell you what will happen tomorrow. You know, the people who have evil spirits, witchcraft and all that, their witchcraft spirit tells them things. And they foretell things. But they foretell things by an evil spirit. Do you know that every evil spirit, oh God, I hope you can take this. All spirits were made by God. God did not make Satan. Who did God make? Lucifer. And so that's why evil spirits, they have power because God made them. But he made them as good spirits, but then they came evil. So that power, they're still using it, but instead of using it for good, they are using it for evil. But now we have a good spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we go to them and say, your spirit is telling you. So some people, when they go to a witch doctor, and it tells them things, say, that must be good. It's an evil spirit. He can tell things. The Holy Spirit can tell you things, but he needs intimacy. For the person, the witch doctor, to tell you things that will happen is because he has intimacy with his evil spirit. He has intimacy. That's why people go to the witch doctor, to the wizard, or what do they call them? They form relationship with that evil spirit. How about you forming an intimacy with the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Let me show you something. Acts chapter 8. See how the disciples related with the Holy Spirit. And a time will come, you'll be able to say, no, that's not it. The Holy Spirit told me that that's not it. You know, but one thing we'll talk about, the Holy Spirit will never go against the Word of God because Jesus is the Word. So there's nothing he will tell you that will be contrary to God. For instance, the Holy Spirit will not say, well, that person has offended you. I want you to go to their house now and give it to them. Phone them. The Holy Spirit will never say that because, like I said, he is one with God the Father and God the Son. You know, this just to give you a guideline so that you know the things the Spirit of God will do. But let's go back to Acts chapter 15. Sorry, Acts 8, verse 27.
This is Philip. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. He was the counselor of the exchequer for Ethiopia. And he came to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28. And was returning. And sitting in his chariot. Obviously, he's counselor of the exchequer, so he's a wealthy man. He has a chariot, you know, a horse-drawn carriage. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 30. Then the Spirit said to who? The Spirit said to who? Now, how about you building a relationship to that point with the Holy Spirit? See, these guys did not see the Holy Spirit as something weird. The Spirit, how did the Holy Spirit say to him? See, can you see that there's no drama here? He didn't say, and he heard, Philip. Philip. But if you are true to yourself, that's the kind of thing we think the Holy Spirit does. And then you say, here I am, you move and move and shake. That's what the evil spirits do. The Holy Spirit said. Ima, can I have the pen? That is saying. That's how the Holy Spirit talks. But what we think is, Ima! She will say, hey. Many of you have been watching too many movies. Horror movies. And they think that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, said to him, look at it, go near and overtake this chariot. That is, this man, he needs somebody to expand the word of God to him. So go near, quickly catch up with him, because he's walking. The man is going on a chariot. He wants you to go quickly. How did he hear it? Intimacy. He talks to him, and he talks back to him. The Spirit of God does not speak to your flesh. He speaks to your spirit, because you have a spirit. And the Spirit of God lives in your spirit. So when you talk to him, even though you don't see him, but you believe that he is with you, he is in you, he replies you. He talks to you. There are many things that we think are strange. You know, the Holy Spirit can say to me, tomorrow as you're going to work, this is what will happen. He can tell me. Paul said that every city I went to, the Holy Spirit was telling me that people will arrest me and persecute me. He said he was telling me in every city. That is, if you got to a city, the Holy Spirit would say, these people are going to try and because you are preaching the gospel. How did he hear it? Look at that. So Philip did what? I'm amazed that this is amazing. You see, Philip didn't say, is it my mind telling me? Or is it the spirit? Is it the devil telling me? You see, but when you start, that's how you feel. Until you build the communion of the Holy Spirit. You want to build a communion. Do you know you cannot build friendship with my wife for me? I can never build relationship with the Holy Spirit for you. You know, sometimes we overrate pastors. Oh my God. We overrate pastors and prophets and all of this. We overrate them. And that is the part of one of the issues we have in Christianity. Don't overrate any human agent. Because you have the agency himself. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Glory, glory. And I never put myself in that position. That's why I'm the most normal person you will ever meet. Down to earth, a normal person you will ever meet. And never, you see, if it was for me, I would not be a pastor. If it was not the Holy Spirit that wanted, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me, I wanted to go and start. We came to start looking for church. We wanted a church that would teach the word.
And my wife and I, we went from place to place. And the Holy Spirit, you know, I was not satisfied in my spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, well, that word that I've put in your heart, you have to start a church and start teaching it. If not, it's always been our goal, my wife and I, to be business people. People who will attain so and just bless the church. And that's what we did ever since we met. It's not something that we were saying we would do. When we had nothing, we gave. And so we believed that, oh, I'm going to be a great business. I was a great salesman, making lots of money. And when I came to this country, you know, I was with Lufthansa, I went, got a job, and I was about to be promoted to directorship. And the Lord said to me, because as a director, you start, in fact, I was already, the church had started, but then I couldn't. The people who knew me at the time, because Lawrence and all of them, they were there. I couldn't balance it. I would still go to work. And I was already attending the directors' meetings. And when you start, you see, I was the only, we had several managers, but I was the only, well, I know there was another senior manager, but I was new. I was a new manager in the company. And the directors used to meet and have meetings in hotels. One day I got a phone call from the chief executive. He said, Cheson, I want you to attend our next director's meeting. And I went in. So, like I told you, I prepared from my department every issue. I prepared it in case they asked me any questions. But I found out it was just a meeting where you sit down. They called somebody from outside to talk to us about management. And we ate. And that was it. I said, oh, it's good to be a director. Amen. Hallelujah. And from that day, we just go to one hotel. You know, I ate so much. We will have people who travel down from the States. And they will say, well, they will have told you ahead of time that I'm the one that will take them around. The first place you take them to is a restaurant. So I ate every day. The Holy Spirit said. You see, I was able to pass that up. Because the Holy Spirit said, I heard it clearly, you've got to give it up and commit yourself to this work. People need to hear the truth of God's word. And Holy Spirit is using me as an agent. I am not the Holy Spirit. I'm not the solver of people's problems. But the Spirit of God puts his word in your mouth. Because I've been a Christian, I told you, for many years. My wife went through, you know, people will go for deliverance. My wife went for deliverance. That was the start of our problem. And the Holy Spirit said, you've got to teach it. We went for deliverance. People were rolling and shaking and moving and moving. She became a Christian. Everything was fine. She was enjoying God. Then somebody said, have you been for deliverance? She said, no. Oh. Then she went. She saw people rolling. And then they came to her and said, go home. You'll have no problem. She said, I don't have problem. You know, you think you have a problem. That's what not knowing the Holy Spirit does to you. It's ignorance. So she thinks, why would the man send me home that I have no problem? But I was told, I have a problem, I have to come for deliverance. She got home. From that night, for 1 month, she couldn't sleep. She's seeing all the people rolling about. She's seeing them at night. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You don't need any man to teach you something other than what God says. The Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. Look at what he says. And he says, run to him. As soon as he spoke, just the same way I responded. And you know, the first thing you will think of is, oh, well, I'm going to be a director. There are many benefits. Number one, the first thing people love about being a director in that company is your pension. You know, I don't want to talk about the pension was such that once you become a director, the pension is such that even if you were a director for 1 week, when you leave, there's an amount of money that's given to you, thousands, just for being a director. So forget about the salary. We're talking about, so if after 1 year you say, well, I'm fed up with this company, they will give you, it's an insurance that is there.
And people used to talk about it. See, these are our directors, they enjoy it. Now, you are about to go in, and the Holy Spirit says, all the benefits of it. That's the first thing that comes. What's going to happen? We have to have three children. What's going to happen? How are we going to do? How are we going to manage? Well, let me tell you, since that day till today, I have never lacked for any good thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you want to know why we do this work, that's why we do it. There's no personal gain. Never go to any man to ask them for anything. We are all here. Never. So a pastor came to me and said, give me this. It is so that we can tell you the truth. And the truth is, you don't need, thank God for human agents to bring you the word. But you don't worship man.
No.
You have a relationship with who? The Holy Spirit. I'm going to close there. See, look at that. See, the Holy Spirit said, and then he ran. Let's look at it quickly. Let's see what happens. He ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? You think about it. The Holy Spirit spoke to you to go and meet somebody. How will you approach them? You go to the person. I have come. If you see people manifesting like that, don't think they are spiritual. It's flesh. It doesn't mean they are fake, but they are walking in what? Flesh. The more calm you are, the more spiritual you are. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why he said, peace I leave with you. Jesus said, you will have peace. I'll give you what? Rest. The same thing as peace. You'll be calm when you talk to the Holy Spirit. Your life will be calm. Your life will be stable. Look at what he says. He came to him and said, how can I? The man said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The man asked Philip, come and sit with me. Because the Holy Spirit said, this man needs somebody to teach him. Teach him. Teach him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches you. He gives you guidelines. He opens your mind. He enlightens your heart. He tells you things that you will never, never know. Things that family members can never help you with. Things that church members cannot help you with. You know, when you depend on man, you'll be hurt. When you trust in the arm of flesh. Because man will always fail. My trust is not in my wife. My trust is in God. Her trust must never be in me. Do you know, the more I relate with the Holy Spirit, the better I can relate with my wife. Because when I learn communion with the Holy Spirit, I learn to commune with man. Go home today and begin to talk to the Spirit of God. Talk to him like a friend. He said, I call you no longer servants. I call you friends. You have a friend. The Bible says a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's the Holy Spirit of God. You know what God said concerning Abraham? He said, Abraham, my friend. Why? God said, shall I hide anything from my friend Abraham? When you make God your friend, when you make the Holy Spirit your friend, nothing will be hidden from you. He will tell you things, but he needs you to be his friend. And I tell you, church, our lives will be changed forever. In Jesus' name.